What would you change in your life? What if you could unleash the miraculous in your everyday life? Experience freedom. Live in peace. Change the world. Become Spirit Contemporary. Join Leon Fontaine, world-renowned conference speaker, senior pastor of Canada's fastest-growing church, and CEO of Canada's only Christian TV station.
Everybody here, you've been called to live a life beyond what you're able to accomplish. You cannot accomplish what God has called you to do without Him and His Word.
In John 10:10, it says that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. So why is there such a disconnect between this biblical promise and how most Christians live today? Why have so many believers become spiritually weak and ineffective at sharing Jesus' message of love? The Spirit Contemporary life is the answer. It's being led by Holy Spirit, but in a contemporary way. It's being Jesus and demonstrating His love in ways people can understand and appreciate. Spirit Contemporary is unique for everyone. It never compromises the truth, and it never makes others feel uncomfortable. It's freeing yourself from religious constraints and walking freely in God's amazing grace for His purpose. The Spirit Contemporary life is absolutely crucial if the global church and her people are going to change the world. And now, from Winnipeg, Canada, Pastor Leon Fontaine.
As a young teenager, later in my teens, I got involved working in a hospital where I joined a pilot project. There weren't any paramedics in Manitoba at the time, and so they decided to use our hospital and train people in the ORs, the resus rooms, the doctors, the nurses there. And I was so privileged to be one of the ones that was chosen and got involved. And it was the start of the paramedic program that now is running really well in the province. But as I began to look at a lot of the pain and the heartache and the brutality of murders and knifings and fights and accidents and all the things that I began to see, my heart began to just cry out that, isn't there an answer for a hurting world? Where are the miracles? Where's the church, wherever we go, that is able to pray and to see healings, miracles, incredible things? And so I began to look and study more. I began to read some of the wonderful believers, pastors, and leaders in the Eastern world. I mean, we're in the West, and here in the West, we want it now. We want it fast. We want popcorn, but we don't want to cook it on the stove. I'm going to make it. 2 minutes and 20 seconds. That's what I do it for. Got a whole bag of popcorn. And everything about the West is fast. But I begin to read great men and women of God from the East. And a lot of them would talk about what it was like to spend time meditating in God's Word and how it would increase the presence of God on your life. It would increase the results that you needed in business, family, miracles, the gifts of the Spirit, your faith, that everything in your life would increase. And so, as never before, I began to hunt down some of the best teachers I could find, and I'd go through all my mom and dad stuff, and I began to, every day, I began to spend time in God's Word. And something began to happen to me. And I began to recognize that if we aren't careful as the Church of Jesus Christ, that we get caught up in the world's way of living. And yes, you can have microwave popcorn, but you can't have microwave relationships. And as I began to meditate in the Word, I would spend time each morning Back then, I would get a hold of cassettes of men and women of God, and I would listen to them. I would read books. I would mark them up so bad. I mean, you know, and today, and I've never stopped. And as a teenage boy, God began to use me to witness. I led so many people to Christ on their deathbeds before they went, in the back of ambulances. I had to learn. Here is where I began to develop what we now call the Spirit Contemporary Life, because I realized everyone doesn't want you praying with somebody in a hospital room or speaking life as you do CPR in the resus room. In fact, I was written up a couple of times, and a couple of times the union had to fight for me to keep my job, and I realized that I don't have to let everybody know what I'm doing. I could do a contemporary way of sharing my faith. I could pray with somebody without bowing my head or closing my eyes. I could literally speak life to someone without saying, in the name of Jesus, you have. I could literally just begin to pray in a way that people just didn't know what's going on, and this allowed me to begin to minister from room to room in ORs, resus rooms. They had no idea what I was doing. The absolute key was never leaving God's word. But every day if I can, and if I'm missing a day or here or there, I'd always go straight back into the word. Jesus said in John 6:63 that the word of God is spirit and life. In Mark 16:20, it says that when Jesus arose from the dead, the disciples went everywhere preaching the word, and that God confirmed the word of God that was being shared with signs and wonders and miracles and healings and all sorts. He didn't confirm their whining. He didn't confirm their crying. He didn't confirm their stories, although stories encourages people. It is the word of God. It says in Mark 16:20, and they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. I love working with my kids. They're all young adults and just stunning young men and women. And often I'll ask them, what are you praying about? What are you seeking God for? And I want to get in agreement with them. And one time I was just chatting with one of them, and they shared a thing they're believing God for. And I just asked, just kind of nonchalant, so, all right, what verse are you standing on? Because I want to get in agreement with them. And their comment was, well, I'm just declaring positive, you know, affirmations. And I said, no, we need a verse. I have found, and so we began to talk together and find a couple of verses that promised what it was they wanted. And then we got an agreement together, because it is the word that God confirms. It is the word that'll grow your faith. It is the word that causes you to believe in his grace. And when you get out of his word, when you stop going to church, you know, it's a funny thing. When you're hungry and you don't eat, your appetite goes up. You get hungrier and hungrier. But when you stop spending time in the word, stop going to church or courses or classes, spending time in the word each day by yourself in the Bible or in a great book, that you lose the desire for God's word. And so only disciplining yourself to get back in the word. And as you get back in the word, you begin to again develop the taste for the word, a desire for the word. And it scared me one time when I've been discouraged years and years ago as a young guy. And I remember getting out of the word, and I remember not doing the things like I used to do, and just thought, nothing seems to be going wrong. And I'll never forget a storm in my life rising up that almost took me out, almost lost my faith. And I realized, whoa, you know, the Bible says there's two houses, one built on the rock, one built on the sand. When the storm came, it didn't strengthen either house. Destroyed one, and the other it couldn't shake. And I recognize the reason you need to get into God's word is so you can get up and be successful in every area of life, but also so that when storms come, you can't be shaken. Can't be shaken. You need the word of God. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 8 to 10, it teaches us that any area that you want to see miracles, the Bible uses the word salvation. It literally means saved from sickness, saved from poverty, saved from the enemy, saved from anything the curse of the law would try to do. It literally says the word of God must be in your mouth, the word of God must be in your heart. And I begin to rise every morning, and I've never stopped. And I begin to talk back to the crazy things that were going on in my head. You know, the enemy will shoot darts at your head, about you especially, People don't like you. People don't want you. You're not good enough. Everyone else is smarter. And all these crazy thoughts, they're talking about you over there, and you don't fit in over here. If he can get one of those thoughts to hook, so you start believing a lie, he's accomplished what he wanted to do. See, the devil's got no power. So he's got to turn yours against you. And I realized the greatest thing I could do was download the word of God into my mind, my heart, through my mouth by praying the word, speaking the word. And that when I did that, that when stuff came against me, I would go right through. And I found that the burden was easy when I stayed in the word. I said easy, yes. But when I got out of the word, it's like I couldn't control the fear. My own emotions would be going all over. The temptation to quit, the temptation to back off and not press on. All these temptations, if I didn't stay in the word, I found that they were beginning to win. They began to slow me down. They began to push me back. I'd find all these little fires I was trying to put out. But when I got back into the word, I would walk into situations and know what to do with peace, with strength, declaring the word of God and see the miraculous presence of God make the difference, because everybody here, you've been called to live a life beyond what you're able to accomplish. You cannot accomplish what God has called you to do without Him and His Word. A stunning verse that changed my life as a young man was in Ephesians 6. And I was studying the Greek word for word, because in the Greek, there's lots of different words for the word of God. Three of the main ones was the word logos, which is the meaning, the revelation of God's word. Then there's rhema, which means the spoken word. Then there's graphe, where we get our English word graph from, and it literally means just the written word. And so as I was reading this, it said that when you put on God's armor, you are given a sword. And that the sword in verse 17 and to 20 is the sword of the Spirit, or one of these versions, I think it's the ASV, says, it is the sword that the Spirit wields. Now, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about your human spirit filled with Holy Spirit, and that this is the sword of your human spirit, which is praying the Word. As you begin to meditate in the Word, you begin to deal with situations, speak to mountains, speak to things that are going on, and your words are so filled with the strength of God as faith rises in you. And I begin to recognize that anything God has called me to do, I could never do on my own. So when I'm weak, He's strong. When is He strong and I'm weak? When I stay in God's Word. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, that if you do not spend time in the Word of God every day meditating, you will not be thoroughly equipped. You're missing equipment. You're missing skills. You're missing things that only the presence of God can give you. And so if you want to be thoroughly equipped, it says, then you must study the Scriptures for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction, to understand righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete. But so many people don't do that. Oh, they got time for CNN to watch it 14 times. They got time for, movie channels and anything to fill their time. But if you don't start, and I want you to start today, to find a great teaching book or a great message series or something that begins to get you every day spending a little time in God's Word, something in you will change. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, there's often different stories and analogies that are kind of a teaching about Jesus. When the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt, the Exodus, and going towards the Promised Land, there was no way to carry food for a couple million adults. So God caused every morning heavenly bread called manna to just appear on the desert floors. And they would get up every morning, moms would go out, men would go out, and they'd gather enough for that day. Some at the beginning were afraid that maybe God wouldn't show up tomorrow, so they'd gather more than they needed. It would always rot during the night. Or in other words, you had to every day go out and collect manna. That is a beautiful Old Testament picture of you need God's word every day. Think on it, speak it, pray it. Let it just sink deep in your heart. It'll bring peace to your emotions, healing to your body. It'll bring an ability to take relationships to new places. It'll keep you humble rather than pride, which will destroy your life. There's something about the Word of God that is alive. There's something about the Word of God that'll change you from a natural person into a supernatural person. I deal with people a lot who can't control their emotions. They can't seem to live in happy. They can't seem to live in joy. They can't seem to walk in peace. And it's up and it's down. And they say, how do you do it? I say, I'm binding the devil. I'm praying. No, that's not what does it. What does it is taking the word and feeding on the bread of life, which is Jesus. And what is Jesus? He's the word. When I get out of the word, I'm a mess. If I spend a number of days not just spending some time in the Word, oh man, I can just feel my stomach start to tense. I wake up in the morning and now the hundreds of problems that I'm looking at in all the different organizations and the things that we're doing around, they just start to eat away at me and I start to go, oh! But when I'm in the Word, I can easily walk into meetings and situations and hear about things and I just have this confidence. God will make a way. He will show me what to do. I will know where, how, when, why, because He is with me. That confidence only comes when I spend time in the Word of God. And because it is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God praying, situations would arise that I see beginning to form. And I would just declare and I would speak to the mountain, but I would speak to the mountain with a promise from God's Word, and things would happen. There's an amazing story that you have all heard before, but let me bring it to you in maybe a different way. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, Jesus has been baptized by John the Baptist. He hasn't yet done one miracle. He's in the wilderness where he's being tempted by the devil. He hasn't eaten in 40 days. And the devil comes to him and he begins to tempt him out of his ministry, tempt him away from his focus and what he's been called to the planet to do, which is why, by the way, he tempts you into sin to get you off direction, because every one of you have an amazing call to do stunning things for God, whether it's business and arts or music or medicine, etc. And within our lives, he wants us to succeed. So the enemy comes to him and he says to Jesus, I don't like him, so I'm going to make his voice sound bad. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, I always thought when I read this, Jesus, why are you putting up with this jerk? Why didn't you just flick your finger and boom, just knock him into another dimension? Well, he couldn't. And there's a whole story to that, because this lease that is on the planet, okay, many Bible experts think it's about 7,000 years that Adam and Eve had, the enemy got it, and his time is going to run out soon. And one angel will throw him into the lake of fire forever. But here, his time isn't up. And so Jesus uses the word on him like you and I can. So he said, it is written. I have found that whenever I pray about a situation, I always allow Holy Spirit to bring a verse up on the inside of me. So when I pray the word. So then it says, the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it's written, he'll give his angels charge over you. And then their hands, they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Now, did you know the devil quotes scripture? I have been with leaders. I have been at conferences. I've worked with people that have the craziest beliefs. And I'm going, what in the world? The devil loves to quote scripture. And he'll misquote it. He'll quote it at the wrong times. He'll bring confusion, condemnation. He'll quote it out of context. He'll do whatever he can to make you feel condemned. He'll plant thoughts in your head that make you feel like you don't fit, you don't belong, you're not as smart as anybody else, you're not as good as anybody else, you can't do this, what's wrong with you? It's always about you that he's trying to make your beliefs turn against you. But Jesus, literally, again, says, it is written. A second time, Jesus says first, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Well, the devil didn't quit there. Took him again to an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, all these things I'll give you if you'll fall down and worship me. Now, you understand that Jesus came to the planet to get the kingdoms of this world, to become the God, you know, that we could, the kingdom of God being here, taking out the kingdom of darkness. He was going to die on a cross for mankind, and the devil's offering him all of this. Jesus says, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. God's word was never designed to sit in a book, never designed just to be a part of a Bible. It was designed to get into your heart because your spirit needs to wield the sword of the Spirit and change what's going on around you. But you go ahead and just go to church once every few weeks and don't spend time meditating the word. And I'm telling you, there won't be much difference between you and the world. But if you will take this powerful message, this truth that rocked and changed my world, I can never be without the word of God. It's my sustenance. It's my daily bread. It's what I need emotionally. It's what I need spiritually. It's what I need physically. It's what I need relationally. It's what I need for what God's called me to do for career. It's what I need for the future. It's what I need for any storm or demonic attack, that no weapon formed against me prospers. And any mouth that rises against me, I put it down. And there are times I got to be careful. Whenever I preach on this, I'll start quoting the scripture, and sometimes I just don't want to stop. It just feels so good to speak the word, speak the word, speak the word, because I do that on my own, in the car, by myself. And when I'm done, I just feel like 10 feet tall. It's like God is all over me on the inside. If you're tired of being lonely, if you're tired of feeling depressed, if you're tired of going from sickness to sickness, the Bible declares that your natural being can become supernatural with the presence of God. Why wouldn't you discipline yourself today? And you'll start to desire it. I go places now, I'm on holidays, and the kids will see me with my feet up by the fire or on a beach. What are you reading? Oh, I got this amazing book. It's a great teacher's talking about the anointing. And you go, well, this isn't work. No, that's not work for me. I crave it. I love it. I desire spend time with God and his word. Then when I go play and hang out with the kids, there's more joy, more happiness, because he brings that into our lives too. When God is in our lives daily, everything from work to relationships to holidays to laughter to joy to board games to sports games, it's amazing how your whole world changes.
You know, the supernatural, or what many of us call the miraculous, is not a mystery. It is something that God is trying to show us on a regular basis. You see, we do not fire prayers at the sky, hoping that God will decide to heal us, hoping that God will choose to bless us financially. When you understand that God has already blessed us, he's already given us the blessing, he's already signed, sealed, and delivered every promise that is in God's word. Okay, Jesus has qualified you for it. So faith is not believing enough till God gives it to you. It's basically that as we begin to understand the powerful principle of the presence of God, the words that we speak, what do we believe about miracles, all of a sudden things begin to come together and they just change. In the studio I'm in right now, you know, there's our certain laws of electricity and lighting, and I'm not praying hoping God turns the switch on. We can go over and flick it off and the light all stops. We can go on and flick the switch on and all the lights come on. God wants you and I to walk in the supernatural every day with the words we speak, the things that we believe, not trying to convince an unhappy God to do something. God has already released within us, His presence, His power. All that we need has been given to us. Learn to speak words. Learn to believe. Learn to stop the lies of the enemy and watch the supernatural. You can call it miracles. In other words, things outside of your power in the natural mind, but things begin to happen in a beautiful, powerful way is something you can see every day. Learn to understand the miraculous. Father, I pray blessing upon them right now. Let the wisdom of God be upon them and let a whole new chapter of their life begin now. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's no accident that you watch today's show. You are special and you have a destiny to fulfill. Our media ministry reaches some of the darkest corners of the world, and your support is what makes this possible week after week. You are vital. You can change a life. Act today